a really long time today. Just kind of want to lay a little bit of a foundation. Several Friday nights ago, we were out here praying. As some of you guys know, we pray. I think it's probably a long season, maybe even more than a season, but a lifestyle of prayer. And so we pray on Wednesday nights. Hopefully you're praying other than these corporate times, but we pray together on Wednesday nights, and then we come back again on Friday nights. Man, it was awesome. Friday night, pulling the parking lot, there was not a single parking space. I would love to tell you that everyone was in here. Actually, they were at the football game across the street between Glass and Heritage. But it did feel awesome to drive into the church parking lot on a Friday night. Yeah! Oh, no, that's the football game crowd. Never mind. But that's okay. That's okay. We had them on the premises. What we should have done, where's Fred? What we should have done, we're going to just anointed all them cars with oil. Lord Jesus, Jesus, let them fall under him. They probably might not have appreciated. What is this? What is that on my... But several Friday nights ago, sorry, we were here gathered. We were praying, and I believe the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart in a very specific way. I was wrapping up this whole series that we just finished about kingdom life, and I thought came to me, and this is the thought. It was simply this: you will receive from me what you declare of me. And I think I kind of knew what that was, but I was just like, okay, God, can you flesh that out for me? You know, put some flesh on those bones for me. I'm not a stupid guy, but I want to make sure that I'm understanding what you're trying to say to me here. And so it became clear to me, what he was saying to me is, when you declare me, if you will declare me as a savior, then I will save. If you will declare me as a deliverer, you know, folks are bound up with stuff. If you'll declare me as a deliverer, I will deliver people. And then this is the one that really came to me and almost seemed to be the point of emphasis. This is where he took the highlighter in my spirit. If you'll declare me as a healer, I will heal. And so, oh man, that's awesome. And my mind and my heart were kind of closed up to a single passage of Scripture. I mean, there's so many places we could go to in the Scripture if we want to talk about this topic of healing. Which, by the way, just let me. I don't want to make any assumptions here today. We are this congregation. We are what we call a full gospel, and that's just the terminology that we've kind of heaped onto ourselves. In essence, what that means to us is that we believe that if the Bible says something, and because God allowed the Scripture to come to us in a certain way, unfiltered, he didn't say, you know what, I don't really intend for my people to experience that, so I'm going to leave that out. We just believe that anything he says in his word, he intends for us to know and experience. And so, you know, I'm not being critical here, I really am not, but there are entire segments of our Christianity, of our brother, we're all brothers and sisters in Christ, but sometimes we differ on some of the details. And so for some of our brothers and sisters in Christ, they would say that certain things ceased, that they no longer happen in the church or in the body of Christ today. And well, I don't see it that way. And so we tend to fall into that category that would say, you know what, if Jesus says that he's a healer, then we just take him at his word that he's a healer. And so, you know, some would say, well, you know, please understand, I'm not being critical. I'm trying to let you know what we believe and why we feel comfortable proceeding the way we're going to proceed in the next few minutes. So, you know, some would say, well, you know, we believe that Jesus can heal, but we're not sure that it's his will. We know that anything is possible, that God can do anything he wants to, but we're not sure he wants to. Now, listen, I understand. Sometimes, you know, it's difficult to reconcile what we proclaim, what we pray for, and what we actually see transpire. I get that. You know, sometimes we pray for divine healing, for example, and then that person dies. And so we scratch our head and we say, well, I don't get that. Well, just hear me out. The scripture declares God's will on any particular topic. I mean, how else could we're pretty finite, how else could we understand God's desires on any one topic unless he were to tell us? I mean, that's, you know, we're trying to figure out an infinite being and how he may think or feel or the desires that he may have in a particular area. And unless he tells us, we can't know. And the scripture seems to be very clear in how Jesus feels about sick folks. Because I challenge you to find one place in scripture where Jesus ever looked at a sick person and said, nope, it's not my will to heal you. There's your challenge. Now, does that mean that every person experienced healing? No, it doesn't. But what it does mean that it's always Jesus' disposition. It is always his will to be healing folks. Now, there could be a number of factors as to why that doesn't happen with every person. But Jesus never looked a sick person in the face and said, you know what? Nah, I don't want to heal you. I want you to stay sick. He never said that. As a matter of fact, we can understand a little bit more about the heart and the intention of God when it comes to healing by just watching how his life played out. He died on a cross. And one of the things the scripture says, it's by the stripes that he experienced on the cross. One of the things that produced for us or brought us to is the place of healing. And so it only makes sense. Why would one of the benefits of the crucifixion of Christ be healing if he had no intention to heal? Please explain that to me. So I'm not trying to be critical or anything else, but I disagree with those that would say that Jesus is no longer in the healing business. The scripture says of Jesus that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so if we can ever find an example of Jesus healing yesterday, that means he's still a healer today. And that means, God forbid, you should encounter or your family should encounter a situation that calls on a healer tomorrow, he'll still be a healer tomorrow. So if Jesus healed yesterday, he'll heal today. Forgive me for getting personal here for just a little bit, but I know me and my situation better than you. So you just indulge me if you will. Man, God knew that this message was kind of stuck in my spirit. And I don't understand all of the ways that God works, but man, did he ever lay in my lap yesterday, an amazing testimony of healing. Want to hear it? Well, you're going to hear it whether you wanted to or not. Now, I'm going to hold back some of the details because someone else wants to share this. My daughter Sarah wants to share this next week when she gets baptized. And I get to do that. Yeah. Yesterday, we were at a softball tournament. You know, Sarah's the softball girl. She loves softball. Danielle. All right. So we're at a softball tournament in Salem. And first game, they had three scheduled games. First game, about halfway through the first game. Sarah's a catcher, by the way. Man, can that girl throw down a second? Man, gun them down. It's like, don't steal on her, man. She will gun you down. So she's catching, you know, she's down and she's, and the girl hit a foul ball. Boom, and foul, and it was going to plop down just to the right of the batter, right in front of their dugout. And so Sarah, when she saw that it was going to go that way, you know, that catcher's got that amazing, it's like one single motion where they whoop, they flip and the whole helmet and the whole thing comes off. And so she flips and she dives all at the same time. And when she's diving, I mean, it was beautiful. She dives and she's all stretched out like that. And the ball just went boom, right in the glove. She had it. But another player was also going to try to make that catch, and she couldn't stop herself in time. And so she was right there when Sarah made that catch. And so, remember, she had flipped the mask off, the whole helmet and everything. And so she went face first into this girl's leg. Her first reaction, she grabbed her nose, because it was right on the nose. She grabbed her nose. And she told me, she said, Dad, and then it hurt like crazy. She said, and then I thought, what in the world? And so I pulled my hand away, and like a fountain, the blood, excuse me, but the just began to gush out of her nose. One of the dads and coaches on her team is an ER doctor right here in town. And, of course, he goes running out there immediately. And, you know, the coaches and everyone's taking the knee, you know, how all that goes. And she's just down on the ground and she's just wailing, crying. It hurts so badly. And so this ER doctor, he grabs her and he, you know, they're taking her, he's escorting her back to the dugout, and there's blood on her arms and there's a big pool of blood on the ground. And they get back to the dugout, and he's checking her out, the ice pack and the whole deal. And so Kim and I are like, why? So we're like, what's going on? So pretty soon, Eddie comes out, and he says, it's broken. He says, I don't think it's real bad, but it's broken. You're gonna need to take her to emergency and have them x-ray it, and they're going to have to reset it. And pretty soon, Sarah comes out of the dugout. She comes up behind us, and her nose, God help her, it was just crooked. It was like off to one side, and it was swollen, and she's got this big old wad of tissues, and it's covered in blood. Forgive me. I'm going to go somewhere, I promise. And there's another lady she's not a coach, but her daughter is one of the pitchers for the team. She's a nurse practitioner. And she comes over and she looks at it, and she looks over at Eddie, the ER doctor, and they both kind of look at each other, and she said, yeah, it's broken. There's no doubt. It's broken. It's pretty obvious it's broken. So here we go. Kim and Sarah, I got to stay with Seth. And so Kim and Sarah get in the van, and they go over to Carilion there in Roanoke, and they're going to have it x-rayed. And I'm texting Kim, you know, what's going on? Is there an update? I'm waiting for the x-ray result. What's going on? You know, nothing, 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 nothing. And all of a sudden, I get a text from her, and it says, we're on our way back. That's it. I was like, what? Well, interestingly enough, one of our really good friends, she's a mom of one of the girls on the team. Her and Sarah are like really, really tight friends. They've actually visited with us several times. She said to me, she said, you know, Ron, she said, as soon as Kim and Sarah left, I prayed. And I said, God, you can heal her. Let it be so that when they get there and the doctor does whatever he's going to do, that it won't be broken. And so then Kim comes back. When they do finally get back, Sarah immediately comes up to me. She says, "It's not broken, Dad." And I was like, "Well, praise God." And then look over at Kim. I'm like, and she said, "Okay, go." Sarah goes to the dugout to be with her friends. Kim says to me, she said, "You know, it's the weirdest thing, Ron. We were sitting there in the ER, we're waiting to be called back." And she said, "I looked over at Sarah, and her nose was just wonked over to one side, and the swelling had started actually to close her sinuses." And she said, and the longer we waited, the swelling started going down and down and down and down. The first time that the ER doctor at Carilion looked at her, he said, "Oh, it's definitely broken. It is definitely." Before the x-ray, he said, "Oh, it's definitely broken." He said, "You're going to need to make an appointment with the ENT when you get back to Lynchburg, and he's going to have to, they'll have to make an appointment to reset it. It's broken." So now we got three doctors. It's broken. No doubt about it. It's broken. Took the x-ray, come back. Not broken. So praise God for that. And so Sarah comes up and she's just, it's not broken, Dad. And I told her what Miss Amanda had said. I said, "Yeah, Miss Amanda said she prayed that when you got there, that the healing would already have taken place and the doctors would simply confirm what God was going to do for you. That was going to heal that nose. And it wasn't going to be broken." Matter of fact, the doctor said to her, "Sarah, if you want to go back and play this afternoon, you can." And she's like, "No, I think I'll pass. Listen. If you think that in any way you're going to convince me that Jesus is not a healer, you're a day late." And if he healed my daughter yesterday, can I tell you, he's present to heal you today. I want to read a passage. You thought I forgot that. I didn't forget that. I want to read a passage. John chapter 5. John chapter 5. John chapter 5. You got it? First 9 verses. John chapter 5. "After these things, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is in the Hebrew called Bethesda, having 5 porches." It's a terraced area, if you will. If you can imagine a wide open area with different terraces and kind of patio areas. And there are these pools or large bodies of water, man-made bodies of water in these various terraces. Okay, so one of them was at a particular place, the Sheep Gate, and then it had been called Bethesda, having 5 porches. And in these, or in here at one of these pools, at this Bethesda pool, in these lay a multitude of those who were sick. So this kind of seemed to be a gathering place for sick people. A multitude of those who were sick, and the blind, and the lame, and the withered. And they were all waiting for the moving of the waters. Some translations say it this way, the stirring of the waters. So if you can imagine that with me for just a moment. You got this large terraced area. You got all these fairly shallow bodies or pools of water scattered around. And there's gathered around these various pools are all kinds of sick people. People with that are lame, people that can't see, maybe some deaf people. Who knows? Leprosy, who knows? Whatever kind of diseases or infirmities people might have. They're all gathered around these pools. And they're waiting, the scripture says they're waiting for a troubling or for a stirring of the waters. And verse 4 explains what they're waiting for, okay? For an angel of the Lord went down at certain seasons into the pool and stirred up the waters. Actually, there are many people that believe that this portion is an explanation of a tradition. Something that was almost like an urban legend, if you will. All these people had gathered, they were waiting for a particular stirring of the waters, because the rumor is, or the urban legend says, that at certain times that an angel from the Lord would go down and get into these pools and stir up the waters, and whoever was the first one, whichever one of these sick people was just quick enough, whichever one of these lame people just happened to be on go, as soon as those waters were troubled, go! Whoever was the first one to get in the pool when the waters were troubled, it says, whoever was first, whoever stepped in was made well from whatever disease from which he was afflicted. So you got the picture? A lot of sick people. And there's, rumor has it. There's this kind of tradition, this understanding that if you go over there to this particular spot and the sun is shining just right, and if you hold your mouth a certain way, at certain seasons, you got to be there just the right time though, but at certain seasons, an angel would come down, and the angel would get into the water, and it would just kind of stir things up. And when he does, if you're quick enough, if you're bold enough, if you happen to be at the front of the line, if you're just willing to shove somebody else aside and get yourself in the water first, you'll get healed. And so how many of you know sick people are desperate people? We'll do anything. I mean, you get sick enough and you get desperate enough, it don't matter how silly the story sounds. It don't matter how ridiculous the proposed cure. You know, you got diabetes, take cinnamon. Now listen, I'm not in any way saying that cinnamon or some other thing may have some beneficial effects for people that have a certain set of circumstances. But please stop sending me articles telling me that my type 1 children can eat cinnamon. But you know, folk get desperate enough. That's a silly story. What do you mean? At certain seasons, an angel is going to come down and fluff up and bubble up the water. And if I'm quick enough, I can get healed. That's silly. That didn't make any sense. But folks get desperate when they're sick. They'll do anything to get well. It doesn't matter how ridiculous or crazy it sounds. And so I'm going to get in line, and man, you know how it is when you're sitting at a red light and you're kind of thinking, okay, I'm watching that light, and when that one changes yellow, man, I know my time is coming. Ready? Soon as yours changes green, it's like that. As soon as that water's bubbled, go! Oh, man, you beat me to it. You get it? This is the picture that we have there. And so in amongst that crowd, all right, in amongst that crowd, no, verse 5, and so a man was there, and he had been ill for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there, and he knew that he had already been there for a long time in that condition, Jesus said to him, do you want to get well? What kind of ridiculous question is that? Of course I want to get well. That's why I'm here. Do you want to get well? Jesus said. And so the sick man then, rather than answering the question, it's a pretty straightforward question. Do you want to get well? Yes, that's the answer. But instead of answering the question, he starts, well, and then the sick man answered him and said, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool whenever the water is stirred up. See, he was lame. He couldn't get in there on his own. He was dependent on someone else to put him in there first. Okay? So I have no one to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I'm coming down, then another one steps in front of me. And Jesus didn't bother going into this whole long theological Well, now listen, let's talk about the theological probabilities of God working this way as opposed to this way. He didn't even fool with that. Listen, it's like Jesus was saying, yeah. Let's get right to the point. And the point was simply this. And Jesus said to him, verse 8, Jesus said to him, pick up your bed, pick up your pallet, and walk. And then the Bible says, and immediately the man became well and picked up his pallet and began to walk. What a ridiculous question, though. Just think of that. Do you want to get well? He probably was being very respectful because Jesus was a well-known and respected rabbi. But I'm sure that guy wanted to say, duh. Hello, I've been here 38 years. If I didn't want to get well, I could certainly find something else to do with my time. Hello, of course I want to get well. You see, Jesus did not ask him that question because he didn't know the answer. Jesus knew, of course you want to get well. So asking the question was not Jesus' attempt to find an answer. Asking the question was Jesus' way of getting that guy's attention refocused on the real issue. And so Jesus would say to us today, do you want to get well? And, you know, I can be critical of this guy for not answering Jesus' question, but don't we do the same thing? Do you want to get well? Well, you know, medical science says that there really is no possibility of cure from... Or we say, yes, of course I want to get well, but I'm waiting. I'm waiting because I understand that in the month of January, Reverend Big Shot is going to come and hold a healing crusade in our area. So I'm just waiting. I'm waiting for my waters to get troubled. Don't we do that? You see, the troubling of the water, it's like our tradition. It's like what we've always been led to believe. We've painted God into a box and we have consigned and restrained him and we've said, God, you have to work in these ways. You have to work when waters get troubled. And so God heals when waters are troubled. Therefore, that's our theology and that's the framework around which we have placed God. And here's Jesus saying, huh? Just step back for a minute and look how ridiculous this conversation is. You have the creator of the world. The Bible says by him were all things made. And anything that was made was made by him. So you have the creator of the world, who with the spoken word can bring universes into existence. He's standing beside you, asking you if you want to get healed. And you start telling him about how you can't get in the water first. That is ridiculous. You see, our problem is that we have, if we're not careful, and this is not you, I'll just say this and let it land wherever it lands. Of course, this isn't you. You're not like this at all. But our problem sometimes, if we're not careful, is we become so accustomed to our infirmities, whether it's a physical thing or some kind of spiritual weakness or whatever it is, whatever that thing is. If we're not careful, we can become so accustomed to it. We become actually familiar with it. It actually becomes a part of our identity. Oh, you're the one that has... And if that thing is taken from us, somehow we feel like we have lost our identity. And so we assume the comfortable role of the victim. Because it's easier sometimes. It's easier to live with the discomfort of the known than it is to step out in faith and face an unknown. Well, if God heals me, then what? This thing, this illness, this sickness that has identified me, it has actually almost become a comfort to me. It has become something, a go-to excuse for me. And now you have Jesus. I mean, the man had been there for 38 years, for goodness sakes. You mean you can't find somebody in 38 years? And the very simple answer to that is, it's because the pool is not your solution. You see, we get concerned about a pool when there's a fountain of life standing right in front of us. Well, preacher, isn't that kind of what you're doing today? I mean, you declared last week, oh, God was going to do amazing things. And we're going to see God heal. Isn't that kind of what you're doing? Aren't you kind of stirring the pool? Aren't you kind of stirring the waters for this special service? Actually, that's not at all what I'm doing. I'm telling you that your hope isn't found in a special service. Your hope isn't found in a special emphasis. Your hope isn't found in the troubled waters. I mean, they even wrote songs about it. The waters are troubled, and so is your soul. The spirit is moving, be completely made whole. Nonsense! God doesn't work through troubled waters and kind of weird, mysterious, ooh, the waters are troubled. That's not God at all. It's Jesus. He is the embodiment of healing. He is the embodiment of wholeness. And he's asking us, are you willing to lay aside all of the excuses why you can't and understand that the very source of life is before you right now? Asking, do you want to be made whole? And so the answer isn't an explanation of why it can't happen. The explanation or the answer is, yes, that's what I want. That's the answer. The answer. So, look, that's pretty much it. I mean, that's kind of what I wanted to say today. Look, I knew a guy. I knew a family. Really tragic situation. Their son, he was probably 4 or 5 years old, and his ball, a basketball or some kind of kickball or something, was in the front seat of their van, of their minivan. And the front window on the minivan was rolled up about that much, and this little boy crawled up on his bicycle and was standing on the bicycle seat, reaching through this open van window to grab his ball. The bicycle rolled out from under him, and he fell and caught himself right here on that open window. And they don't even really know how long he was hanging there, because by the time they got to him, he was pretty much, he was unconscious, and they really didn't think they'd be able to revive him. He'd been hanging there for so long that he'd deprived himself of oxygen and blood flow to his brain. And they got him down off of there. They got him to the hospital, and they were able to revive him. But he was forever. He didn't know anything. They had to feed him through a tube. It was just horrible. And This was right around the time that there was a really well-known evangelist, televangelist, and it was reported that there were miracles that were occurring in his crusades. But the difficulty is this couple, when this happened to their son, they grew angry. And they began to withdraw. And they pulled themselves inward. And all the people from our church that tried to reach out to them, we're okay. And they kept everyone that loved them and tried to share the love of Christ, and they just kept them at an arm's distance. They didn't really lose their faith. They just kind of withdrew and they stopped coming to church, which, you know, I was thinking, man, that's the last thing you need to do. And this is really when you need your church family, but so don't push us away. But they stopped coming to church. And one day when I spoke to them, I said, hey, you know, we've been missing you guys at church. We sure would love to have you come back. Is there anything we can do for you? They said, no, we're fine. We're fine. The son's name was Brad. They said, no, we're fine. We're going to be taking Brad to, and they named this guy. We're going to be taking him to his crusade. He's coming to Charlotte next year, and we're going to be taking him there, and we know that God's going to heal him. And my heart broke because what I wanted to say is, don't you understand? The healer is right now with you. You don't have to wait for this well-known. And please understand, I'm not disparaging that. God can and does work in ways that, He has all kinds of ways and means at his disposal. So he can work that way, and he does work that way. But understand, you're not resigned. You don't have to just sit back in your misery and wait for some stirring of the water. You don't have to wait for a well-known televangelist to bring his healing crusade to your area. Listen, the embodiment of healing is right before you. And what I wanted to say in my frustration, what I wanted to say is, you can't even drive across town to come to church, but you're going to drive across the state to go to a healing crusade? And it's frustrating. I wasn't frustrated with them. I was frustrated with the enemy, what the enemy does to us. He says, you just got to take it. You just got to resign yourself. This is your lot in life. And until and unless someone special, an angel from God, can come down and get things stirred up sufficiently for you, just live with it. And Jesus interrupts that kind of nonsense. And he says, do you want to get well? So that's his question. That's his question. Do you want to get well? Do you want to be delivered? Do you want to be set free? Do you want to get saved? But you don't understand, preacher. I've done some pretty rough stuff. I'm not sure. Stop with the excuse making. He's not asking you if your waters have been sufficiently troubled. He's not asking you that. He's asking you, do you want to get saved? Do you want to get healed? And he's the one that's asking. Can I tell you, he's not going to, can you imagine? What if I walk up to you and say, hey, would you like $20? Would you like $20? Oh, I'm sorry, too bad. Does anybody get that? Could you imagine if Jesus said to that man, son, wilt thou be, that's the King James, wilt thou be made whole? Yes, Messiah, I want to be made whole. Psych. Too bad. So sad. I was just joking, dude. Could you imagine that? See, you laugh at it because that's not the way he is. That's not the way he operates. Just asking the question lets you know what's in his heart. Just asking you the question lets you know where he already wants this thing to end. Do you want to get healed? Do you want to be made whole? He's like, come on. Finish the sentence, will you? Finish the sentence. That's what this is about. And so let's not get this idea in our mind that if we're going to get anything from God, then man, we gotta have a special service, and we gotta have a special guest speaker come in, and you know, we gotta really, well, let's play the music real fast. Let's pump it. We do that. You know, us Pentecostals, we're good for that. So come on, man, pump it up. Come on, get us all pumped up. Let's get these waters all troubled. Come on up here. You know how we do that. Come on. We do that. If your waters ain't troubled, we're going to get you up here and trouble them, man. We'll shake you and push you down. Hey, I can be critical of us because I am one of us. But we do that. It's because we've formed these theologies and these beliefs and these ideas that God has to work within a certain way. And so you got to be playing a certain song, a certain way, if God's going to work. It's got to be loud. Yeah, loud, real loud, and fast. Unless you want somebody to get saved, and then you got to play something like I Surrender All, or There's Room at the Cross for You, or Just As I Am. You see, we've conditioned ourselves to think that we've got to set just the right mood. And unless we trouble those waters just right, then everybody's going to leave disappointed. Listen, I do get it, that sometimes we do need to focus our minds in particular ways, or maybe a particular song or series of songs might help us to kind of put something into our spirit that we can grasp and hold. I get that. So I'm not really fussing about that as much as I am wanting us to step back and take a bigger picture look and say, you know what? My hope isn't found in a fast song. And God's not going to heal me just because we sing songs about healing. You see, we sing songs about healing because He's a healer. We don't sing songs about healing to make Him a healer. Hello. And so, I'm stumbling all over the place, but do you get the point? Listen, Jesus Himself. Jesus Himself is right there. He said, yeah. See, because he's in you and He's in me. And He says, if two or three would gather in My name, I'm going to be working in the midst of them. And He says, I will even inhabit, I'll make a dwelling place wherever I'm praised. And we've done that. We're doing that even now with the declaration of His word. We're giving Him praise. And He says very clearly, look, if you'll gather in My name, if you'll praise Me, if you'll bring Me with you when you gather, I mean, there's nothing impossible. So we're waiting. Oh, do you want to get made well? Well, yeah, I do. But you know, maybe it's just not my season. Maybe it's just not my turn. Someone else is a little more diligent in their prayer life, and so maybe it's their turn. And just when, here comes, the waters are getting troubled. Oh, shoot. Man, he beat me to it. Well, I'll just sit here and wait for the next time. And Jesus walks up and says, what you doing, man? 38 years of this? What are you doing? What are you doing? Do you want to get well? Well, yes, I really would like to get well. However, knock it off with the howevers. Knock that off. I'm Jesus. Don't you understand that? I'm Jesus. I made you, dude. Don't you think I can heal you? And Jesus didn't have to go through all kinds of machinations, and Jesus didn't have to get in there and stir the waters up Himself, and He didn't have to push Him down and shake Him, and He didn't have to do, He just said, do you want to get well? When the guy finally quit making excuses and hushed his mouth, Jesus said, just pick up your bed and go home. but now don't discount. The guy didn't go back to his excuses. He didn't go back and say, well, I would love to be able to pick up my bed, but he didn't do that. He said, sure, why not? He picked up his bed and went home. So now look, I guess this would be your cue. You know what? If he weren't here to play right now, Jesus is still here. If you weren't sitting in this service, hearing this message, Jesus is still the healer. And so you don't have to be in this service or any other service. But guess what? You're here today. You're here today. And we're not here to trouble your waters. We're here to declare Jesus as the healer. You know it. You know it. You know it. My daughter knows it. Who else? Who else knows God to be a healer? Right there. Oh, there's one. There's one. Oh, there's one. Yes, your dad. Stung by how many? Thousands of bees? Millions. Okay, forgive me. Millions. Millions of Africanized killer bees. Should be dead man. He's alive and well today. He's a healer. Anybody else? Who else has a healing? Right there. Healing. 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 Right there. 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 Man, you know what? If we had time, or we wanted to take the time, and if we had the patience, we could go around this room with a microphone, and every person that raised their hand could say, let me tell you how Jesus healed me. Let me tell you about my healing. Let me tell you about when it was impossible for me and the great physician stepped in. Folks, I want you to hear very clearly today. Jesus is saying, do you want to be made whole? But Lord, I do, but Lord, I don't have... Do you want to be made whole? Well, what happens? And this is a valid question, so let's just get this out of the way. What happens if we pray in these next few moments and nothing happens? What happens if we say, Jesus, heal this one of cancer, and they go to the doctor tomorrow and that cancer is still there? You know what? Our circumstances do not change who Jesus is. Let's take that same argument from a different perspective, shall we? If the emphasis of today's service was salvation, that you can give your life to Christ and become a child of God, and some people respond to that and they give their life to Christ and they receive Him as their Savior. Well, what happens if some don't? And they walk out of the service not a Christian. Would we then go back and say, oh, look at there. Some people didn't get saved, therefore he's not a Savior. But wait. You're ignoring those that did get saved. See, there's some dynamic going on with that guy as to why he didn't receive that gift of salvation. Maybe it's a lack of faith. Maybe God's still working on him. Maybe he's got some stuff he needs to give up. I don't know. I don't know why that didn't happen for him. But don't focus on that. Focus on the fact that these got saved. And so that's the reason I had you to raise your hand, because the enemy's going to put the thought in your mind, well, what happens if you pray for so-and-so and they don't get healed? Well, you're placing your emphasis in the wrong place, because if he healed one person, he's a healer. And I saw dozens of hands go up in here. Listen, he's a healer. And my experience and your experience doesn't define who he is. He is who he is. Can you imagine if the only way that he could be known is if we experienced him in a certain way? No, he is who he is. He is a healer. And he's here today asking us, do you want to be made whole? That's the question. So I'm going to ask, are we going to sing this or just going to, what's going on? Can we go back to the other one? More than enough, yeah. There's a song that I've been kind of wanting to introduce for a little while. Let's go ahead and stand. You want to come help sing? You guys can come. Yeah, come. This goes this way. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, you are more than enough for me. Jehovah Rapha, you're my healer. By your stripes I've been set free. Jehovah Shammah, you are with me to supply all my needs. You are more than enough, more than enough, more than enough for me. Listen, he's asking you today, listen, do you want to get well? Some of you have been struggling with that same issue, that same sickness, that same whatever, long time. And we want to be done with the excuses today. We want to recognize really clearly, listen, Jesus himself is here. And he's asking, not because he's trying to lead us into a trap, not because he's trying to take us someplace that he doesn't intend to deliver, but he's asking because he wants to meet you on the other side of it. Do you want to get well? Anybody here today? If you want to step forward, feel free. What we'll do is we'll pray. The Bible says if there's any sick, listen. The Bible says if there's any sick among you, this is scripture. If there's any sick among you, let them call for the elders, the spiritual leaders of the church. It goes on to say, it goes on to say, and anoint them with oil, a type and symbol of the Holy Spirit. Anoint them with oil and pray a prayer of faith. And God will do a work. So for us, it's an act of obedience. It's not some magical formula. If we view this as a magical formula, we just as well say abracadabra over you. We'll get the same result. That's not what this is. This is a response, an obedient response. Jesus is saying, do you want to get healed? If there's any sick among you, pray, anoint with oil, and watch me do my work. Anybody want to receive prayer this morning? I have some elders that are waiting to join me here and pray with you. Come on. Don't sit by that pool not another day. You want to get healed. Come on. Thank you. Thank you. You understand, Jess, he's bigger. You understand he's bigger than rheumatoid arthritis. Do you understand that? Woo! Oh, you're about to get set up, sis. Anybody else? Right here. There's one. You? Hang on, brother. You, sis? Come on, Vita. You? All right, you? Yeah. Right here? Who else? Yeah. Look at these canes. You think Jesus is scared of a cane? You absolutely out of your mind. Come on, who else? I tell you what, you can join us in singing this song. If you want to stretch a hand of belief and faith this way, come on. Let's join our faith together and pray.
By your stripes I've been set free. Jesus, you are more than enough. You are more than enough for me. You are more. You are more than enough. My Jesus, you're more than enough.
You are more than enough
for me. Hallelujah, Jesus, you are more than enough. Because of you are who you are.
There is no one like you, God. There is no one else like you. You are great. You do miracles so
great. There is no one else like my God. There is no Savior, there is no one else like you.
Hallelujah. You deserve the glory, God. You deserve the glory, God. We give you all glory, God.
My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is my days, I want to praise. You know this, wonders of your might. My comfort, my shelter. My comfort, my shelter. A tower of a refuge and strength. Let every breath, let every breath. And all that I am, may it never cease to worship you, Jesus, and shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down, and the seas will roar at the sound of your mighty name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I love you, forever I'll stand. And nothing compares to the promise I have. Oh, nothing compares to the promise we have. Oh, nothing compares to the promise we have in you.
Nothing compares.
compares to you, Jesus. Nothing compares to you.
Praise you, Jesus.
We're just going to keep kind of playing the song from our heart and just praying and worshiping you. We worship you, Jesus. Faithful God. Nothing compares to you, Jesus. My King and my Lord, nothing compares to you. Nothing compares to you. My Jesus, I love you, Lord. I love you, my King. I worship you. Nothing compares to you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Soria la rabaco sota rabiata. Love you and worship my Lord. Praise your holy name. Evermore, the King of Kings, you are my faithful God, my Lord. I praise you, Lord, my King. How great is my God? Sing with me, how great is my God? All will see how great, how great is my King, Jesus. Praise you, Lord, that you heal, that you save, that you deliver. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, the mountains bow down. Thank you that mountains fall at your name, God. Mountains of fear, mountains of depression, mountains of sickness.
The mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. We declare your name and I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever. And nothing compares to the promise I have in you.
Thank you that your promises never fail. They are great, oh God. Great are your promises, oh God. Thank you, Jesus, that you do not fail. Thank you, Jesus. We humble ourselves. We cry out to you, God. You are our healer, our savior. Our hope is in you.
And nothing compares to the promise I have in you. For how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great, how great is our God.
Sing, how great are you, O God.
For how great,
sing, how great is my God.
Is my God. Sing with me, how great is my God. And all see how great is my God.
Praise you, Lord.
It's the name above all names,
the only name.
You're the name above all names, Jesus.
You are worthy of
all.
Jesus.
Thank you for strengthening us. Thank you for strengthening Jesus, your people, hope, God. Strengthening our faith.
Beautiful to worship you, Jesus, just to praise your name, just to be in your presence. Thank you for the honor of letting us to experience your presence, oh God. Thank you for clothing us in your robes of righteousness.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you for seeing us as righteous and complete and whole.
Yes, God.
Because we are covered in you. Covered in you, oh God. That's why we are royal priests, because we are covered in him.
Covered in righteousness.
You've made us righteous in you. Covered us with your love.
Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for healing and setting free.
Your breath, my God. We just receive, all the rest of us, we receive your breath today. We breathe in the breath of your spirit today. Breathe in your spirit.
Most holy God, to whom all our praise is due, we stand in awe of you. Lord, we stand in awe of you. Your amazing love, oh God.
We stand
in awe of you, most holy God. All our praise is due. We stand in awe of you. Thank you, Jesus. We are in awe of you, the Holy King. Most holy God, to whom all our praise is due, we stand in awe of you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I stand in awe of you. Come on, let's sing it together. I stand.